This is CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, independent campus community radio from Simon Fraser University. We broadcast on the unceded ancestral territory of the Coquitlam, Musqueam, Squamish, and the Tsleil-Waututh. We also stream online at cjsf.ca and listen to podcasts of our programs and our website.
Today on Wings, childcare in Kenya, a report by Diana Wanyonyi.
Care is work.
There's a river of birds in migration, a nation of women with wings.
Welcome to Wings, a series of news and current affairs programs by and about women around the world, produced and distributed by the Women's International News Gathering Service.
I am at Kisumundogo Slums in Mombasa County. Here, I have come to meet Edel Wafula, a mother and also a caregiver for children below the age of 4 years who are brought to her house daily by parents who go to work. It's 7 in the morning. I find her washing utensils outside her one-bedroom house. Then she cooks rice and fries some fish. This, she tells me, it's lunch for her two children. Edel tells me that her daycare opens at 8:30 in the morning from Monday to Saturday.
Mimi kweli kazi yangu ilikuwa kunikulea watoto. Watoto wananitaga tu mama mlezi. Wakati wa mpurupuko ukitoka nilikuwa na watoto tu watatu. Yeah. Lakini mbeleni nilikuwa na watoto kama 6, 7. Lakini sasa kiwango kile walipofika cha kuenda shule wakaenda shule.
My work is to take care of the children. Children just call me mama. Mama who take care of them. During COVID-19 outbreak, I had only 3 babies whom I was taking care of. But before COVID-19, I had between 6 to 7 children whom I was taking care of, but they grew fast and they were taken to school, so it was no longer my responsibility. I started afresh again.
Kuenda choo sababu nilikuwa na yani waweze kuongea wakitaka kwenda choo, ya ndo wakienda shule wasipatie walimu shida, na saa nyingine pia kucheza nao na wapatia kama toys. Wale ambao hawajui bado ndio wanajifunza kukaa ama kutembea, kuna baby walker.
I usually take care of children under the age of 4, so that when they reach 4 years, I usually tell parents to take them to school because I don't want any problem with the government. When they come here, I teach them how to go to the toilet and how to speak if they feel pressed, so that when they start going to school, they will not give teachers problem. And also, I have toys here. I usually play games with them. I also give the small ones baby rocker. What motivated me to start this caregiving is because one of my friends died while she was giving birth, and I requested the family to give me that baby so that I can take care of the baby. And that's how I felt like, yes, I have a calling in taking care of others. She's now 4 years. I charge 100 shillings per day for every kid who I take care of. They come with their food, and I'm the only caregiver here. When parents bring their children, they also carry food along with them.
Mtoto wa kwa siku tulikuwa tunalipana 100, mlezi wa ni mimi, chakula wazazi wanaleta.
That was Edel Wafula, a mother and a caregiver for children below the age of 4 years. She spoke to me, Diana Wanyonyi, at Kisumundogo Slums in Mombasa. Lucy Minayo is an advocate and executive director of Nature First, a global founder and capacity builder focused on building systems that support home-based child care providers. After attending her media training on reporting about child care in Mombasa, I asked her for an interview.
Nurture First is a global funder and capacity builder that was established in 2022 with the sole purpose of building support for home-based childcare providers. It's estimated in Kenya, in the informal settlements, that about 60 to 80% of children in those settings are taken care of in their homes by women who open up their homes to provide this for service at a minimal fee. Mm-hmm. Though we are global, we started our operations in Kenya, mm-hmm. and we are working in three counties, Mombasa, Kisumu, and Murang'a.
Why these three counties?
The three counties, for various reasons, Kisumu and Mombasa, because Kisumu has a large peri-urban population with corresponding childcare needs. Mm-hmm. Mombasa has a large workers that are not living in Mombasa coming from other counties, mm-hmm. and there's a huge care burden in Mombasa. And then in Murang'a, while it is a rural county, it has some economic activities that make it peri-urban, like the flower farming, the agribusiness that's happening with Kakuzi and Del Monte, etc. We looked at the population dynamics and established the care needs in those dynamics, and we also were looking at counties where there's minimal work care interventions going on, counties where we could make a difference by supporting county governments and communities to design solutions for the challenges they are facing.
You are listening to Wings. The organization is in how many countries in Africa?
So far, we are just in Kenya. We are testing these learning interventions in Kenya, and then hopefully we will expand to other parts of the world.
And how is the reception in Kenya?
The reception has been quite good. Actually, when I started this work in 2022, county governments did not quite understand who a home-based childcare provider was or is. And in fact, some of them would term these women as illegal. So when we started the work and we started showing them what is going on, some studies had been done and we brought those studies into the rooms with the government, that's when they realized, oh, we have a huge working population in the informal settlements that are helping us to do our job. So right now, we are collaborating with those three counties to think through policy solutions and solutions to make that service affordable, accessible, and of good quality.
What is caregiving?
So when we talk about care, we are talking about services that are provided to us, sometimes to individuals, and these are services that support the economy of the country, but they are invisible. They are provided in two formats. There's paid care, so the care like what is happening in hospitals, etc. And then there's unpaid care and domestic work that happens in domestic situations. So that really is the definition of care and the type of care workers that we are working with. Our focus is these women that are providing care at little to no fee, because they could fall within the category of unpaid care or lowly paid care workers. And what we are doing is really bringing dignity to this work, visibility, so that people understand this work. And the definition of a home-based provider is just a woman that is providing care out of their home, their personal home, and they provide to a group of children at a fee or sometimes no fee. And this care can also be provided. It's not just these women, but we also have it in the format of our grandmothers, family, friends, and neighbors. Yeah.
Have Kenyans understood this?
Kenyans understand it. Actually, when we were having the conversation yesterday with the journalists, this is care. Everyone knows this is care. It's just that we are now beginning to understand care as it's work. It's not a voluntary thing. It's not, people are not idle and then they decide we'll provide care. No, people are actually doing it as a means of earning an income. And there are several inputs that should be made so that the work becomes of good quality. So things like training, etc., that needs to happen so that these care providers, their skills are enhanced. So they don't just do minding of children, mm-hmm. they also provide early learning opportunities to the children, among others. Yeah.
What came out strongly yesterday in your presentation?
So yesterday we were making the connection between care work and the time use survey. that was launched by Kenya last year. And what came out strongly was just this understanding of the social dynamics in our societies that define our care infrastructure. And those are things like the demographic of the country. So who is it that is accessing care in Kenya? Or in Africa, majority of the people that are accessing care are the children, particularly below age 3, and then actually below age 8, and then we have elderly people. But then in Africa, we also have a huge disease burden. So those are also people who access care. And then in terms of who is providing care, it's mostly women. We also looked at cultural factors that inform care. And the reason why we have more women providing care in Africa and even in Kenya is really because our culture, you know, defines, has kind of arranged, organized us in such a way that a lot of these jobs that are not seen as jobs are performed by women. We also looked at the policies and the implications of policies on the care infrastructure. So care is not just about the employed. It's also about the infrastructure. It's what we were talking about today, markets. How are societies supporting informal workers to meet the care needs of their families? So we looked at the comprehensiveness of the policies that are needed to make care, to build infrastructure that is responding to the needs of Kenyans, of Africans. And then we also looked at, now we were connecting, the valuing, what are the things that need to happen so that care work is valued through the 5R principles: recognize, reduce, redistribute, reward, and represent. Yeah, so we were looking at it through that five principle lens, so that we, you know, as the journalists report on this issue, they are looking at the comprehensiveness of the issue. They're bringing attention to the gaps in care, mm-hmm. and sensitizing the public about care. So recognition is about making people understand that this is work. Mm-hmm. Care is work. And I want to equate it to things like our community health workers. When community health work, before these guys were called community health workers, they used to be called volunteers. And there was a connotation there that they are not quite doing work, you know. So recognition is bringing some dignity to the work and acknowledging that it is actually work. Then the second is reducing it. And reducing means that considering the care burden and identifying mm-hmm. the interventions that are needed to lessen that burden. And those interventions could be, things like even sharing that care burden in the home and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. Redistribution includes, the infrastructure, basically spreading the care burden so it's not sitting within the home and not being performed by the woman only. And redistribution, it includes this infrastructure that is required so that the work care work is performed across a set of institutions and not left to the home as a burden that is borne by the families. Then rewarding it is just compensating it. I talked about how home-based childcare providers receive very little money for their work. We've encountered situations where women are actually earning something like 20 shillings, which is it's below 50 cents, 50 US cents. And the match I've heard about is something like 200 shillings. So it's defining the value for that work and then allocating adequate resources mm-hmm. so that people earn a living wage from that work. And then representation is really recognizing, supporting the care providers to organize, to advocate for their issues, to engage, to sit in policy conversations, because the wearer of the shoe is the one that really knows where it pinches.
Lucy Minayo is an advocate and executive director of Nature First, a global founder and Capacity Builder focused on building systems that support home-based childcare providers, discussing current practices and goals for childcare in Kenya. She talked to me, Diana Wanyonyi, in Mombasa.
Do we have enough care centers here in Kenya?
That's a really good question. That care is provided. So when we talk about childcare, it's provided through two primary mechanisms. One is centers, childcare centers, and then the second is in the home. And in the home, there are two formats. Eh? It's either a nanny, somebody providing care out of the house of the child, or care provided out of the house of the provider. So in Kenya, the most dominant format, the one that most people know actually in Africa, is the home-based version of care. Mm-hmm. So people either have a nanny or they take their child to some house belonging to some lady or man to take care of their children.
You are listening to Wings.
Child care centers are fairly new in our context. They are particularly for children that are aged 0 to 3. The assumption is these children are taken care of at home by their parents or by somebody that's being paid to do that work. Mm. There's actually a gap in terms of care centers for children aged 0 to 3. But we are seeing governments and private sector and social entrepreneurs like Kidogo, Tiny Totals and others beginning to support women to set up child care centers in their communities. Mm-hmm. We are seeing government as well beginning to build care facilities in markets. So if you county government of I think it's Kirinyaga has a child care center in the markets, and Busia, and you know, among others.
Makueni.
So we are Makueni among Nakuru. Others. Yes, Nakuru, yeah.
Can you talk about children arts? Mm. And the care reforms that are coming through, mm-hmm. and what will happen if all these children homes are no longer there?
Mm. Yeah. Okay. So the Children Act has pushed us towards something that I think is important, deinstitutionalization of care. So moving the care of children away from institutions to the families. And what is happening right now in the Ministry of Labor and Social Protection is that in 2022 or 3, the government launched care reforms, national care reforms, which are really meant to phase out charitable care institutions. This is a global issue. It's not limited to Africa or Kenya. Charitable children's institutions, and to move children back to homes. Mm. Now, that's a good thing. It's noble. However, it might create a gap or, increase the care burden for families and for communities. And so what needs to be thought through is what the support mechanisms that are needed. Actually, the care reforms will happen over a period of 10 years. So my assumption is that the government has given itself 10 years to reform care and to kind of sensitize the public about the importance of things like fostering, adoption, among others, because that's what is passed. That's really, those are the mechanisms through which children will come back to their homes, and reintegration, family reintegration, among others. But I think there will still be gaps, particularly for orphans or children who have no guardians. And we need to think critically about, or even care needs for when the people that adopt or foster these children, there will be care needs, as in they will still be going on with their lives, like going to work, among others. So there will be support required for these people to be able to take care of additional children without interrupting their daily lives. So in our conversation yesterday, we noted the importance of all these efforts, reforms, reading into each other. So as we work on child care systems, and this is not children in need of care and protection, this is children aged 0 to 3 who require care, because to to release their parents or guardians to do other things, you know, distinguished from children in need of care and protection who are in charitable care institutions. Mm-hmm. So all these reforms need to read into each other and, you know, any gaps identified and taken into consideration as we build our national child care system in this country.
Yeah. Yeah. What are some of the challenges are there for organizing care?
I think the biggest challenge in this country is that we are yet to really we don't have a national child care policy, and we don't actually in this country, we do not have a national child care system. What we have are private attempts to create private solutions to what is actually a public problem. So we don't have a national child care system that is publicly financed and publicly supported. That's one. So it makes things difficult. So when counties are, you know, setting up child care systems, they are setting up these variations. If you go to Turkana County, they have their own understanding of care, Mombasa, etc. So that care system is going to help us. If we enact it, it will help us to standardize things and to ensure universal access, and importantly, recognize the roles and responsibilities of government and the different players in the field. So that's one. Two, is just a question of quality. So a lot of people get into this business because it's easy to set up. You actually just need your house and demonstrate capacity to take care of children. And if you, the assumption is if you have children, you have demonstrated capacity to take care of children, yeah? But that's not necessarily the case. Eh? So the question of quality is critical. And within quality, there are things like training, there are things like mentorship, coaching, among others. And these are some of the things that Nature First, the organization that I spoke about, is working on. Organizations like Kidogo, Uthabiti, and Tiny Tutus, Total Care, among others, are trying to resolve that situation. And then three, for me, I think, is just the question of, you know, recognition of this work. So it's these mamas provide care, yani they are on their own. They are on their own, and the government will only interact with them when a problem has occurred. So, you know, we cannot deliver. So they need support. So, and the support will come once these mamas are recognized, and it's connected to the point I made about a national care system. Yeah.
Yeah. Yesterday you spoke about the slum home-based care providers and mm-hmm. how the government have neglected them, mm-hmm. and yet they're very important. Please, can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, so the point I made was that these mamas, particularly in the informal, that is the primary form of provision of childcare, but they operate, you see, first of all, they are not making a living wage, which means they can't even meet registration requirements under any regime, whether you want them to register as a business or to register as a business name or whatever it is, an association.
Even association or enterprise.
Exactly. So they will operate underground. They will operate out of the boundaries of the administration, which is I understand them, but it's something that the government needs to think about, mm-hmm. how to. So when counties set up these laws, I think one of the things that should happen within those laws is to recognize different forms of childcare. Like, childcare is not just provided in a childcare center. It's not just an ECD provider who can provide care. So these mamas that have been providing care, part of their recognition could be acknowledging that they've been providing care. So that's something the government calls recognition of prior learning, and then identifying what are their capacity needs, supporting them based on those capacity needs so they can provide quality services to the children.
Is the government aware of this initiative? Do you think it will be tabled in the parliament so that it can become an act for every county to have a similar, or what do you think?
I know people are working with the national government. The County Council of Governors is on this issue, very well versed and leading some efforts towards basically a national standard. But counties are well seized. There are many, if not all counties, have started considering. Some already have laws on childcare, policies on childcare. So this is an issue that the government is willing, and in discussions that partners are having with governments, the reception is very good. So I know that it's an issue that governments are paying attention to, our county governments are paying attention to.
Yeah. You've just ended some training with journalists. Why do you think journalists are very important stakeholders in this initiative?
They play the important role of informing us about things that are happening in the community. And now that the Kenya Time Use Survey has been launched, they have the power of the microphone and the medium they are using, camera and, you know, the pen, so as to be able to report on this issue in a very accurate manner, but also to bring visibility to this issue and to sensitize the public about this issue, so that we begin building understanding of care and building communities that appreciate care workers and reward those care workers. Childcare is the emergency crisis of our times, and it's unfortunate that it's coming in the midst of other crises like climate. We are just coming off a pandemic. We are beginning to recover from the pandemic, among other things. There are several gaps in the way care is delivered in our countries, in our continent, and we need to begin conversations about shifting public systems to provide coverage to childcare and other care needs. We have elder care, we have disability care, we have sickly, etc., etc. So we have to have very, very candid, robust conversations with our governments about how we shift the public system to support the care needs, the growing care needs of our population. And it's a good thing that we started the Time Use Survey and make the connections there, but governments have to invest in public systems, because that is the way that we will make care accessible, we'll make it affordable, we'll make it universally accessible, affordable, and of good quality. Scandinavian countries have good examples that we can follow, but if we look at Africa, South Africa, the childcare advocates in South Africa got a very good win when the government actually put in 10 million significant funding, social protection, to support childcare needs. So I think South Africa would be a good country to look at, and maybe Rwanda. Rwanda also has some good learnings. And Ethiopia, actually the city of Addis, the mayor has put in some significant money to support childcare needs.
That was Lucy Minayo, an advocate and executive director of Nature First, a global founder and capacity builder focused on building systems that support home-based childcare providers. In Mombasa, I am Diana Wanyonyi for Wings.
Thanks to all Wings supporters, including your community radio stations, Suzette Cullen and Genevieve Vaughan, whose events can be found through the website maternalgifteconomymovement.org. That's all one word, maternalgifteconomymovement.org. The Wings sound logo is from Libana's album A Circle Is Cast. I'm Wings series producer Frieda Worden. This is the Women's International News Gathering Service.
Attention, women in science, technology, engineering, and math. Whether you're a seasoned professional or just starting on your journey, the Society for Canadian Women in Science and Technology is here to support you every step of the way. From mentorship programs to networking and skill-building events, we've got the tools and resources you need to succeed and thrive in STEM. Visit SCWIST.ca to learn more. That's SCWIST.ca. We can't wait to connect with you.
Diverse, independent, yours. You are now listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Burnaby, British Columbia.